tonight, if God's will and his help, I want to share my heart. The heart, the things that mean dear to me. Let's go to Psalms 27 and 4. I say this Psalm 27 is my life song. It's my life scripture. The whole 14 verses, I claim them for my life. And this is the reason is because so many times when I'm in need, this is the scripture the Lord has given me. And so I've shared it many times in many places. But I felt led of the Lord to share this one thing. The thought is one thing. If we could narrow down what is important to us, the most important thing, it'd be one thing. And the one thing that's most important to me is in this scripture right here. It says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. If I didn't have, you know, sometimes we tell our children, we might say, what is the most important thing? What is the one thing you really want? You know, maybe we give them, it's their birthday or something. We say, what is the one thing? Yeah. Or we may tell them to make a wish sometime when they're singing happy birthday and getting ready to blow out their candle. And they have to make the one wish. But if you had to narrow down all the things that you like in life, all the things that are important to you to one thing, what is it? What is the one thing that's most important? To me, the one thing is God and the things of God. He said here, to behold the beauty of the Lord. First, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. All the days. I don't want to go just so far and then give up and get tired or be discouraged and go back. Oh, Lord, no, I want to go all the way, all the days of my life to dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to be able to look and see all the things, the beauty of God Almighty. That's the one thing. When we have our focus on the one thing that's most important with us, the one thing, God and the things of God, it's going to affect everything we do. It's going to affect it. We cannot, if this is what's important, people that have things that's important to them, they make sacrifices. Yes. I was listening to Brother Marty the other day. I was like, so to speak, on the edge of my seat because what he was saying was so real to me. About passion. So see, when you have your mind focused on God, you're going to have a passion for him. You're going to want to do things that he tells you to do. Yeah. You're going to want to follow in his footsteps. You're going to read his word. It's not boring to you because it's so important to you. It's so much in focusing on the one thing. People that he was telling about, people that are sports figures, they're passionate about that. Oh, yeah. And different other things that they're passionate about. And I was thinking, you know, it seemed like he was going down the line that's on my heart. God had been dealing with me and working with me about that same thing. So I have some questions here I want us to think about. Are you, what is the one thing that defines you? You know, the word define in this means who I am. So, are you defined by how well you can speak? We can think about that. Other words, do people look at you and say, my, that's a good speaker? Or are you defined by how well you can play basketball? Some people have those things. Or how intelligent you are. Sometimes people have all these things that's so important to them. And it defines them because their whole life is focused on it.
That's true.
Are you defined by what? What are the things? What's important to you? But to me, the most important thing is God. Dwelling in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So it affects how I live on a daily basis. The things that you have interest in does define you. I was thinking about a word, epitaph. An epitaph is something that's written on a person's tombstone, and it's something about them. It could be a nickname, or it could be a description of how that person is. That's a real nice person, or a godly person, or whatever. What would be written as our epitaph? Would it be that I was very smart, or I was very, I was good cook? I remember somebody I know, I call it in the family. They are kin to my aunt on one side, and I'm kin on the other side. And they were telling about this, the mother, one of the girl's mother, I think, she died. They put, I don't know, food or something in her casket. These are things that she was interested in. What would be in there? Would it be a Bible? Or would it be something else? Sometimes they might have a football or a basketball or something the person is really into. But we want to consider how important it is to make God and the things of God are one thing. So, how does this happen? I was thinking about that. When we get saved, that's where it starts. If you're going to have a zeal, an ambition, a passion for the Lord, it starts when you get saved. And it starts from real repentance, a real godly sorrow for our sins. Yes. And once we get that real godly sorrow for our sins and repent of our sins from the heart, God gives us, we get a passion for Him. We get to zeal. We get to really appreciate what He's done for us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. It's, I believe, 7 and 10. Let's see how this starts. How does a person get this kind of zeal for God? It says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow means I'm really sorry that I did wrong. I'm really sorry I grieved God. That's how we get godly sorrow.
Contract.
And it works repentance. Once you are sorry for something and really seriously sorry, then you can ask God to forgive you, right?
Yes.
And you mean it. It's not just, Lord, forgive me for my sins and save me. It's not that. It's, Lord, I've realized I've done wrong and I've grieved the heart of God. Please forgive me for my sins. Please make me a new child. Please come into my heart. This is where it starts. And then when we do that and we have repented, then it says, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourself. When you have that kind of repentance, it changes you. It makes you careful about how you live. What indignation. You get where you don't like the wrong things. You even hate to see others doing it. Yea, what fear? Then you also fear God. You get the real true fear of God. Not that I'm afraid he's going to strike me dead, but I fear to displease him. I don't want to hurt him. Yea, what vehement desire? Then you get a strong desire for the things of God. Yea, what zeal? You even have such a desire, you want to try to help somebody else. Yea, what revenge? You are so against the devil. You're not pleased with all his things. You don't even enjoy other people doing wrong. In all these things, you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. So that's where it starts. Once you get that, and I think of, in the Bible, it tells of Mary Magdalene. I believe she was the one of the Marys, that came and wept and washed Jesus' feet with the tears and wiped them with her hair. But that lady had been such a sinful woman, and she had repented, and she was sorry for that life, and she was, no doubt, she was so thankful for God's mercy. That's where it starts. Let's go now. I want to read the rest of this verse, Psalms 1, 27, and I want to read verse 1, 2, and 3 as well. I really don't have to read it. I know it by heart. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I heard a preacher preaching on this scripture, and he said that fourth verse, that when he said, this will I be confident, all of those things that he said before, the Lord is my light, my salvation, all that is why I feel confident. But for years I felt that fourth verse is mine. This will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Because, you see, you can have confidence in God when you know that you are putting first. You can have confidence in his help. You can have confidence that he's there with you, regardless of what you go through, because you have put him as number one, one thing. So we want to do that. It's very important that we allow the things of God to be most important in our lives. It's like this. When you wake up in the morning, your mind is turning toward God. You look, you read a scripture, you sing a song, you have devotion toward God because he's number one. Sometimes I have gotten up and I think, start doing something and I think, oh no, I said that God is first. So I stop what I'm doing and I get a scripture and read at least a scripture. Get my God first. Then all these things are next. We can have confidence in God's help if we put him first. If we put him on the back burner, oh, I got this to do and I got that to do and I need to do this. How can we expect him to be there for us? We put him on the back burner. When we were in Dallas, the brother was preaching about cell phones. And it's true. If you're not careful, you can start on your cell phone first thing in the morning and be on there. Some people like to play games on it. Wasting time. That time you playing games can be time you can read your Bible and get some spiritual something in you. I can't say that all games are wrong. I'm not saying that. But don't spend so much time and leave God out. Let him be first. Let's go to Psalms 119, 103. When God is first, we love Him. We love His Word. We love everything that has to do with God. I need some help here with the reading. Psalms 119, 103.
How sweeter thy word, yea, sweeter than the honey.
Amen. You see how that is? It's so precious to you that when you read it, one day I said, Lord, give me something. And He started just, well, brother, I heard you talk about how the Lord do you. He get real close to you. And He was just bringing so much encouragement and blessings. That's what the Lord wants to do to each one of us, but we have to make Him first. Number one, when we do that, He's going to richly bless us. He's going to make us happy. He's going to, we don't have to go around with a sad face. We might be in pain. We may have problems. We may have grief. But we can still be rejoicing in the God of our salvation.
Yes.
And His word is rich. Have any of you eaten honey off a honeycomb?
Yes.
I have.
Yes.
It's so special, isn't it?
Yes.
And He said, your word is like that to me. Sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Psalms 119 and 140.
Thy word is very pure.
Love it. We're to love the word. You know, I don't think people can make you love the word. That's going to have to come from within. You know, I could tell you all day long, you need to love the word of God, but that's not going to make it. It's going to have to come from within. But if you put God first, you'll find yourself beginning to love the word of God. So good. It's like food. Jesus said one time, I have meat to eat, you know not of. And that's the way the word of God is. Somebody might say, come on, eat. It's time to eat. And then you feasting on the word of God. You feel like, well, I can eat later. I gotta finish this meal I'm getting from God. Oh, when we make God number one, it's so many blessings that comes our way. 119:35. Delight. We delight in it. Now, some foods that we delight in, I know I've heard, like Sarah, you give her a good meal, you won't about hear something about that, you see. And the same way, Samaya too. If you give them something they'd like to eat, they're going to say something about it. This was good. That was delicious. Well, the word of God is like that. I delight in it. That's why I talk about it. That's why it's rich to me. Oh, it's a blessing to make God number one. Let's go on now. And let's think about how we can maintain this. How can we do this? The first thing is really to get up in the morning and make your devotion to God first. Make Him the first part of your day. And you know what is going to happen? All through the day, your voice, your mind is going to lift up to God. You know, you might be doing work, but while you're working, some thoughts will be coming into your mind. The blessings of the Lord. And you'll have so much to praise God and thank Him for that you won't have time to feel sorry for yourself or be down and depressed. The devil would, the Lord would chase all that depression away if you would just put Him first. Now, we look at some people in the Bible. There are different ones in the Bible that got a hold to this. Maybe they didn't know how to word it like this, but they got a hold to it. David, according to the scriptures, God called him the man after God's own heart. Let's go to Acts 13:22.
He had removed him, raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, found David man after.
Oh, yes.
Do you want God to have that testimony to us? We can be a woman or a man after God's own heart. God can testify for us if we put him first. Also, there were others. We look at Daniel. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was devoted to God. He prayed 3 times a day. Even when his life was at stake, he did not stop his devotion to God. And God was there for him. When he went into that lion's den, then God shut the lion's mouth. God will help us and he will bless us if we will only be devoted to God. We need to think of what are some of the things that keep me from being as devoted to God as I ought to be. There are things. The reason people are not as devoted as they ought to be, and God is not first, is because of other things. And so we don't want to get into that. There was also Job. He was named the patience of Job. And Moses was the meekest man, they say. And then Abraham. Abraham was the father of the faithful. All of these ones in the Old Testament, and those in the New, some of them as well, were examples of being so devoted to God that God, they shined out. They shined. The graces of God in their heart shined out to the world. And we want that too. But we had to fight against a lot of things to keep us from being there. And one of the things that caused people to not have that devotion as they should is to being caught up with the cares of life. Let's go to Luke 21 and 34.
Yourselves, anytime your hearts feel.
We have to be careful. There are so many things in this world that can get your attention and keep you from being devoted to God as you are. And you'll find yourself, if you get all caught up in those things, you'll find yourself putting God kind of second, maybe even last, putting him on the back burner, so to speak. Well, I'll do that later. I'll go pray later. The Lord says pray, we'll pray now, not later. He says open your Bible, open it now. Don't put it off. Don't think that this is more important than God. There should not be anything in this life more important than God. Let's go to Mark 4, 18 and 19. I want us to read this occasion. I think I wrote it down. I believe it's the one of the rich man Lazarus. But I want us to see how that the rich man, how he lived in this life. And Lazarus, how he lived. But at the end of the life, Lazarus was blessed and he wasn't blessed.
That's not the story of Lazarus.
Okay. I probably got it written down somewhere else. But Luke 16, 19 to 26. Mm-hmm.
A rich man, which was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, where the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, was Lazarus. And beside all this, there is a great gulf, with they which would pass from hence to.
You see what happened? The rich man had everything. I mean, he didn't wish for nothing, but his focus was not on God. If we read the rest of that, he's asking Abraham to send Lazarus back to his brothers that they might not come to that place. We could get so caught up in this world doing our thing, taking heed or even considering God and just living life. But then at the end, in the judgment, it's not going to be good for us. So if we want something that's going to last eternal, the things of God is what's going to be eternal. These things in this world will pass away. Whatever you accomplish, whatever we get, it's going to pass away. But if we put God first, it will have eternal benefits. In this world, we'll have, be blessed, and in the world to come, eternal life. So Lazarus, no doubt, whatever he was right, righteous in his heart. And God, he was taken there and was able to be in Abraham's bosom. So we don't want to do that. I was thinking also of Jesus and how he talked to Martha and Mary. Well, I think we need to read that. Luke 10 and 36 to 42. Mary was one that sat at Jesus' feet. That was the one thing important to her. But Martha was so cumbered. She wanted to make sure that everything was right, all the, no doubt, have the nice place setting and everything, the food fixed. It's okay for us to fix food and have nice things, but we don't need to make them first. That was the problem with Martha. She was making that first. She wasn't so focused on what Jesus was having to say and teach. She was more focused on serving. And therefore, Jesus reprimanded her. You want to read that?
Sister named Mary. Jesus gave her importance. Martha was cumbered about, does that not care that my sister had left me? Bid her that she help me. Said her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Mary had chosen that good part.
You see that? One thing, the one thing that's needful, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And if you look, read and look at how she was talking to Jesus, you could see she was very disturbed and she had kind of like an attitude. Don't you care if somebody came to you like that? You know they got an attitude. Don't you care that Martha is not helping me? I mean, Mary. So she had some great needs. And God, Jesus could supply those needs if she was busy listening to his word. But no, she's trying to fix things. Yeah, it's nice to fix for the master, but not to have an attitude. So we can see that the one thing is needful is to make God first in our lives. And so we want to do that because that is what's going to matter in the judgment. Pray for me.